Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, December 15th. It is now 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. And let me repeat that. We need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action, just as our Declaration of Independence states and our Constitution states, folks. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program. This morning, I'd like to invite everyone. Oh, by the way, if you are at all confused about what is going on with the financial situation today, and if it doesn't confuse me, please call me and straighten me out, because I've been dealing with this now for many years, over a decade, been studying this stuff, and I still find it absolutely baffling. I do recommend that you go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates, Sutton-Associates.net. That's Sutton-Associates.net. And look at his website. Subscribe. He has a newsletter, and he also has a podcast that he puts out. He has a subscription newsletter. I think that'll come out quarterly now, and it really helps clarify things. And I do implore you to take a look at it. He speaks in plain language. He's a heck of a nice guy. I've known him for 5 years, actually only through the telephone. You know, I subscribe to his newsletter, and I rely on him for many financial decisions. In fact, I have him on my program the third Wednesday of every month. In fact, the only time I broadcast on Wednesday evening is when Andy's on. That's the third Wednesday because it's most convenient for him. Also, I'd like to remind our listeners to call in, please. I know it's early in the morning for some of you early birds, but it's 888-773-4496, and that's toll-free, 888-773-4496. You do not have to stay on the subject that I'm on. Any subject will do. This program is for you, not for me, okay? I say I do it for myself, obviously, but I do it for you. I also ask you to go to the archives if you want to look at our previous programs, and some of them are enlightening. I have to admit, I'm bragging a little bit, some of them are enlightening. When you do, please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I answer every email. I promise. I answer every email. And I even want your disagreements, because this is where we both learn. And I want to talk about that just for a minute, in a minute. You can also access us via iTunes and follow us via Twitter under Liberty Joe, @LibertyJoe, I should say, just for your listening convenience. Lastly, I also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We don't sell anything. We don't give anything out. This is personal, private. This is for us. I am very much for us and not for them. So I'm with you guys. First of all, let me repeat. Our call-in number is 888-773-4496. 888-773-4496. We still have the Block Talk Radio number of 646-652-4620. Now, we have that number because we use the Block Talk Radio network, and then it trunks over or transfers over to the toll-free number, to the 888 number. So, I mean, it's all the same. The toll-free number transfers over to the Block Talk Radio number, in case you think we've moved. We haven't moved at all. I think it's important and critically important that I talk about a subject. I'm going to talk about some concepts and some perspectives, and I'd like you to consider these. The first one is I had a conversation with a friend of mine, an elderly gentleman over at, I meet at Starbucks once in a while, really a pleasant person, And I do not recall what we were talking about, but it obviously had something to do with economics, I believe. And he must, I think he just turned 90 or 91 years old. He's a sweet man. He's just a heck of a nice guy and very friendly and cordial. And I just enjoy speaking with him. Well, anyway, there was a young gentleman sitting a chair next to us. And after we talked a little bit, he said, "Do you mind if I add my 2 cents?" And I said, "Oh, no, please do." I said, "Join the conversation." And he said, "Well, I really believe the problem is that we have a few rich people, you know, who save or, you know, who have the money and are not using it. You know, they're just making the money and they're keeping it." Now, listen, gentlemen, this is what we hear on television. Understand, this is exactly what we hear on television. Rich people take money and they just keep it. So I looked at him. I said, "Wow," I said, "that's so neat." He says, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You know some rich people, and they would divulge that to you." He said, "Well, I don't." I said, "Do you know these rich people? You know personally? You know?" "No," I said. "You mean you haven't looked at their financial statements?" Well, he looked at me like he's staring at me. "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's amazing that you would know something like something personal like that. How do you know that they're doing that?" And he had this blank stare in his face. No one has ever challenged that before. Because, you know, boy, you know, the reason why we have all these problems is because all those, the 1%, you know, those rich people are taking all the money and they're hoarding it, yeah. I said, "Well, that's interesting." I said, "That's what I hear." I said, "Have you, do you have a degree in accounting? Are you a, I used to, by the way, folks, I used to be a financial statement analysis analyst for a major fully integrated oil company. I know about financial statements a little bit, okay? I used to do the big stuff many years ago. And asset ratios, you know, source and disposition of funds, blah, blah, blah. I know all that stuff. Anyway, so I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Have you analyzed these statements to see and audit them to follow where the money went?" And he's got this blank, he's not answering me. I said, "Excuse me, you're not answering my question. Am I asking a question? The wrong?" He said, "No." He said, "No." He said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Well, that's interesting that you would say that and not know it." I said, why would you say that?" I said, "I'm not being argumentative." I said, "But why would you say something like that and not know it?" And he again, he looked at me with this blank look. He's a nice fellow now, you know. And I was, of course, giving him a really hard time. I mean, I was really enjoying this, you know. And he said, "Well, I don't know." I said, it's obvious that they're just saving all this money and they're hoarding it." I said, "Well, how do you know? I mean, how do you know that?" And again, the blank look. I said, "Look, son, let me tell you something." I said, "You're starting out in your life, your career. You're reading books here, you're young, I assume you're a student, or at least you're just out of school or in school. But," I said, "I'm at the other end of the spectrum, you know, I've been there." I said, "Let me tell you something about rich people, you know, and you can surmise whether or not I'm one of them." I said, "Rich people never, never hoard cash. They never hoard money, never." I said, "Do you understand that? They never hoard cash." He said, "Well, what do they do with it?" I said, "They invest it." I said, "And what do you think is wrong with this economy?" "Well, we got to get people to start spending again. You know, people are not spending money. That's why all the money's being hoarded." I said, "Well, stop right there." I said, no economy ever in the 5,000 years of history that we know economies have existed have sustained themselves on spending. Spending does not equate to the strength of the economy. Never has, is not, and never will. It's simply a law of economics, law of nature. Never will happen. Again, he had a blank stare. He said, "Well, what it does?" I said, "Savings and investment." Now, let me tell you what rich people do. I know. Don't ask me how I know, but I do know. Rich people, when they get money, they get rid of it. They get rid of it really quickly. What do they do with it? They invest it. How do you think they got rich? Do you think they got rich by making a dollar and putting it in the bank or in the backyard and burying it? No, they took that dollar and they invested it wisely. They didn't go out and buy a big truck, man, you know, and pack of cigarettes and some booze and have some good time. No, they didn't. What they did is they bought inventory. They bought land. They bought equipment. They bought structures. They bought into companies. They financed. They financed industry. They financed jobs. They created jobs. And by doing so, they make money. And when they make money, guess what? People get pissed off. They go, he's making all that money. Well, yes, he is. You know why? Because it's his money or her money. I said, economies grow and thrive on savings and investment. And what does this economy not have enough of? Savings. Haha, savings. Going down again. Going down. We start saving a little bit. And then all of a sudden, we're dropping down again. Right? We're going more into debt. Right? And investment. We're not investing because we're unsure. We're unsure of our economic and political environment. And the only person, the only entity that can rest assured, make us feel secure, and rest assured that our investment is going to go in the right place is if government gets out of the way. And I shut up. He said, you sound like a conservative. I said, what's that? He said, you sound like one. I said, I didn't know I was conservative. How did you arrive at that decision? He looked at me again. He said, sound like conservative. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, I don't know what that means. I said, quite frankly, I'm not one. I don't think of one. I've never considered myself one. But, you know, if that's where you categorize me, I said, give me an idea. Give me an idea. And he couldn't. He says, well, your ideas, your thoughts. I said, my thoughts on economics? I mean, this is Economics 101. Why would I be a conservative if I understood the first chapter of Economics 101? Why would that make me a conservative or a liberal or in between? He couldn't answer the question. He says, do you like Bill O'Reilly? I said, do I like Bill O'Reilly? I said, why would you assume that I knew Bill O'Reilly? He says, well, I didn't. I said, well, how would I like him or not like him? I've never met him. He says, well, I mean, do you like him? I said, I don't know the guy. You mean the guy on television? Yeah. I said, I don't know him. I don't know him at all. Never met him? He probably would never speak with me. I said, how can I tell you what I like? Do you like him? Well, yeah, I guess so, yeah. He couldn't answer the question. My point to all of this, folks, is that we constantly are asking the wrong question, or when we ask a question, we do not know what we are asking. I said, let me ask you a question. What are you going for in school? I mean, what kind of grade? He said, sociology. I said, let me be a little glib and a little nasty. You're getting a degree in worthlessness. He says, well, not really. I heard that before, but he says, I'm going to go for my PhD, and there are job opportunities there. I said, oh, yeah? What are you going to be creating? He says, well, I won't be creating anything. I says, then what will you be doing? He says, well, I'll get a job in a college, and I'll be teaching. What? What will you be teaching? Oh, sociology. I said, so you have a degree in something that doesn't produce anything, and you're going to get a high enough degree so you can teach other people to get degrees that doesn't produce anything. I mean, said that don't produce anything. Excuse me for my English grammar. And he looked at me. Again, he couldn't answer. I said, so you're going to multiply these degrees in worthlessness and create more unemployment. I said, that's the way I see it. Or they're all going to get jobs with the state, and we're all going to be working for the government. Everybody. And we're going to have a communist state, either one of the two. I said, which one will it be? He had this horrified, absolutely horrified look on his face. And I wasn't being nasty. I was just asking questions. He was unable to, and he was a smart kid. I mean, he was going for his PhD and all this. No one, folks, listen carefully. No one had ever challenged. No one had ever challenged the question. Not him personally. I wasn't attacking him. Understand that. His name was Jason. I hope I see him again. He was a lovely person. He is a product of our school system where we do not teach students. We do not teach our children. We mold them. Rather than the parents molding the child, we have the government molding the minds of our children. When are we going to wake up to that? And he was a perfect example, a wonderful person. And I mean a wonderful, you can tell he was a very kind person. He was a very good person. But he was acting in accordance to the rules and regulations and the instructions of the way he was taught. Let's hold on to that thought because the next one is going to be interesting. Hold on 1 second, and I'd like to stop for station identification, please.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I know it's early in the morning. We have no phone call-ins. Come on, I'm getting kind of lonely here. Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Of course, you can send me your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're missing this live broadcast, we do have archives. We're on iTunes. You name it, you can find us. Okay? We have a Facebook page. You can find out where we're going. Please sign up for our reminder service. All you do is get a little reminder broadcast Thursday morning, 6:30, or Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock, whatever the case may be, okay? So, or 7 o'clock, I should say, usually. So, please do so. All right, now, I want to get back to this conversation. Now, it's 888-773-4496, and let me hear from you, please. All right, and tell your friends about Liberty Talk Radio. Spread the word. We are starting a revolution. We are all part of this revolution. If only 5% of us would be like this station and the people who listen to the station, 5% of the population, we can turn this whole government around. We can go back to the America that this was intended to be, what it was intended to be. A nation of people who are self-governed. That's who we are. People who are self-governed. We don't need somebody in Washington to tell me what the heck to do. Now, good thing I don't get too excited about that. Now, this gentleman I was talking to you about, that we were conversing, I guess it was a one-way conversation at this point, about economics, politics, and whatever. I don't know what we were talking about, but he kept on asking me questions that I couldn't answer. He said, well, who do you think's to blame for the Occupy Wall Street? He said, do you think that they have a legitimate right? Now, I'll be honest with you. I gave him an answer that was not a very good answer. I wish I could tell you otherwise. I can fake it, but I'm not. And I said, the short answer is this. They have a right to be angry, but their anger is directed in the wrong place. It should be Washington and not the banks. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're a banker. I said, you have a bank, right? You have money in the vault that you lend out. You collect interest, right? You give people savings and you give them a little less interest and you save the difference. I mean, that's basically banking, basically. I said, a guy comes in, right? He's a bum. He's never held a job. He's on drugs. He's not worth a plum nickel, not nothing. Oh, I shouldn't say nickel. Nickel is worth a lot today, but not worth a zinc penny. You know, comes in, he goes, man, I saw this $400,000 house I want to buy. What would you do? And the guy stared at me. He said, well, I don't know. I said, wait a minute. You're a banker. Guy comes in, has no job, no prospects of a job, may even be on drugs. I mean, guy's worthless. I mean, worthless human being, right? He wants you to give him $400,000 for how to buy a house. What would you do? And he thought it was a trick question. He thought it was a trick question, folks. So he
He says, well, I may not give it. I said, let me ask you. I said, you may not give it to him? You may not, may not give it to him? You wouldn't have the lobby guard pick him up and throw him out? Or you wouldn't ask him, are we on candid camera? You may not give him the money? Would you personally, if someone came in here, looked like a slob, looked like the guy was hopped up on drugs, the guy says, hey, give me $500 now. What would you do? You have to think about it? You have to say, well, let me come back in 10 minutes and I'll make it render my decision to you? Folks, these are the people who are getting our PhDs, folks. These are our PhDs of the future. What is wrong with this nation? They said, well, the greedy banks, you know, oh, greed. He says, it's greed. I said, okay, it's greed. Remember, you're the banker. You have money back there in the vaults, you know, that belongs to people that put together for savings and stuff like that that you're going to lend out for that. Let's make it simple. Now, I know there's fractional reserves and all that. Let's make it as simple, right? Now, you give the guy $400,000. He buys the house, never makes a payment. I said, where do you make any money? He says, we repossess the house. Oh, so you're not a bank. You're in the job of repossessing. You're a repossession company. He said, no, I'm not. I'm a bank. I said, how much does it cost to repossess a house? He said, I don't know. I said, I don't know either. Exactly. But it is very expensive. There are legal fees. There is all sorts of government regulations you got to follow. It's a long, drawn-out process. You have to evict somebody. You got to get the sheriff over there. And then the guy leaves the house in shambles. You get that. Are you in the real estate business or are you a banker? Well, I guess I'm a banker. I said, but now you have a piece of real estate that's been trashed, right? Been lived in already. Has not been improved at all. In fact, anything, it was degraded. And now you have to sell it. And you don't sell it, you can't get even part of your money back. And you've already put in probably $50,000 into it. You've already lost $50,000. I said, is that the business you're in? He goes, well, no. I said, then why would you give him a loan? Why did you give him the $400,000 loan? He says, I don't know. I said, was that a smart move? He goes, well, I guess not. You guess not? You guess not? Is the guess, is that the important, is that the key word, guess? Isn't it? Hell yes, it was a terrible move. I don't know what else to say. I must have been drunk myself. Guy must have filled me up with LSD before I gave him the loan. Only way I would have done it. I said, so why do you think the banks gave him the loan?
Oh, greed.
I said, what's greed? Couldn't define greed. Could not define. I said, you can't define greed. No such thing. I said, we're all greedy. We go to the store. We see something for $2 and one for $1.50, same item. Which one do we buy? The one for $1.50. Why would we spend $2?
Well, create employment.
I said, you're not going to create employment. The one for $2, the guy's going to go out of business. You're going to create unemployment. A guy came, was totally dumbfounded. Here's a guy going for his PhD. He's dumbfounded. I said, listen, son, the reason why you as a bank gave this drug addict with no job and no prospects a loan for $400,000 is because somebody guaranteed that you would get paid. And who is that person who is guaranteeing it? Blank stare again. I said, your government. My money, your government. That's who did it. And he was just dumbfounded. I said, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you ever hear of them? Yeah, they guaranteed it. They gave him the money. They didn't care who gave it to. They could have given it to a mice, a mouse. A mouse could have come in. Quick, 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 quick. They would have given $400,000. Made no difference. Wasn't their money. Because the government, with a wink, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Now, I won't get into it. Why they did it, another story. That's exactly what happened. That's the fact. Can't dispute it. That's a fact. Had nothing to do with greed. Had nothing to do with bad banking. Right? Now, let's get to Occupy Wall Street. Now, there was more to this, and I can't remember the rest of this conversation with the bankers, but the loans, you know? And especially since you had housing going down, housing being inflated, you have bankers who have real estate experts. They know what the score is. They know when there's a housing bubble. These people know what's going to happen. They, you know, it's like a truck driver being on a road going 80 miles an hour with an 18-wheeler, and 100 yards down the road, there's a brick wall. He knows he's going to hit the brick wall. You say, well, you know, he didn't have that much experience driving a truck. No, he knew he was going to hit the brick. They knew exactly what they were doing, but they were off the hook. Why do they care? All right? All right, folks, let me just stop right there, because then we're going to get to the Occupy Wall Street. And this is what gets me really angry. Good thing I'm in a good mood today, because so far I've kept my blood pressure down, I've kept my voice levels down, and I've been very calm. Okay, so let's just stop for station identification.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective, not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I do implore you to call. It's awfully lonely here tonight, this morning. I know it's quite early. It's about 3 minutes to seven. We're going to close up a little after 7:15, I guess, today, because I'm just ranting and there's no one calling in, and I'm going to go hoarse and tired, and I put out a lot of energy, and then I fizzle out, before this thing is over, okay? Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. Please, Occupy Wall Street, give me a call. 888-773-4496. I would love to hear or read your email to comments at libertytalkradio.com. If, in fact, you are listening to this, not live, but on a broadcast, if you're listening live, please, your phone, just click the one button, dial the number, click the one button, and ask any question you want, okay? And I'll tell you this, if it's a good enough question, when I say good question, I mean deserves some conversation, we'll let it lob over to the next program, and we'll talk about it then, and we'll have you back on again. So, we'll make a star out of you, like I am. Big deal, all right? 888-773-4496, comments at libertytalkradio.com. All right, now, so nice guy, Jason, he wants to know about Occupy Wall Street. And after he asked that question, I gave him the answer, which I felt was right, and I'll still stand by it, but that wasn't the answer. Here, folks, I had to give this some thought, because I've given this some thought, but I haven't really, just didn't gel with me. And I got to find out what the, what is the core problem to all this stuff? Here it is. In my opinion, love to hear yours. Okay, here we have someone on the line. Let's get our caller, please. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. This is Jim.
Oh, Jim, good morning. Thank you for calling in. I was getting kind of lonely. I'm glad someone called in. I don't feel like I'm alone in the universe.
No. I'm an early riser. I've listened to you from the start, but it was on stories that you were telling that I just didn't have, that it was fun to listen to, but just didn't have a compelling comment or question to ask. But the Occupy Wall Street topic, as you know, fascinates me. I've been trying to understand it from different perspectives. As you know, I had sent an email out with some interesting YouTube videos with different perspectives. You can address it from a lot of different angles. One thing that's very disturbing, I think, is is how militarized the local law enforcement is in pepper spraying and beating these peaceful protesters, and that is a topic in and of itself. The militarization of law enforcement and the martial law that we seem to be heading towards. But I would welcome your thoughts on that. But I'm interested. There's a lot of conservatives, well-to-do people that comment and say, they're just a bunch of losers, a bunch of out-of-work bums. Get a job. They're you know, they're using this just as an excuse to hang out with other, you know, hippie-like people, and they're trashing city parks, and, you know, they're losers, get a job, you know, is their attitude. I think, obviously, that's a shallow perspective of it. It's a mixed bag of people with a lot of different grievances. But one question that sometimes comes up, even in mainstream media, is how is the Occupy Wall Street movement similar and different from the Tea Party movement? And I don't necessarily have a clear distinction between the two. And I wondered if there's, well, what you thought, if there's some commonality or stark differences that they may either clash or be able to unite in some way as the unrest in this country continues to grow.
Well, Jim, thank you for asking. As you know, I know all. So I have the answers to any question you might have. Allow me this perspective. The Tea Party movement, I have much disagreement with the individual motives of the Tea Party movement. I do not agree with many of them and all that. The one thing I do agree with on both the Tea Party movement and the Occupy Wall Street and all is the fact that I like people to protest. I think we should all be protesting, and I applaud every one of them. I see the Tea Party movement as Occupy Wall Street light. You see, the Tea Party movement was concerned about rights, about debt, about the oncoming demise of our culture as we know it, the freedom and whatever.
And of course, historically, the Tea Party was about unfair taxes, and so
right.
I think they were talking. You know, the tax issue was another one of their
yeah,
platforms.
Right. That's all that did: higher taxes, lower productivity, but all that stuff put together. The Occupy Wall Street was one step closer. As a result of all this, I can't find a job. I'm broke, you know. Damn it, it's got to be somebody's fault. Let's go to Wall Street. In other words, all it was is it was the Tea Party on steroids, because it affects people directly. The people at the Tea Party were being affected sort of indirectly and pressured a little bit. You know, it's like saying, hey, you know, Jim, would you drive me to the airport this morning? You say, well, Joe, I don't want to come. Oh, come on, please. That's the Tea Party, right? Now, the Occupy mm-hmm. Wall Street said, Jim, if you don't drive me to the airport, I'm coming over your house. I'm going to let all the air out of your tires, okay? I mean, it was just Tea Party heavy, basically. And so we see this progression of people getting more angry on more specific subjects. Now, the problem we have with Occupy Wall Street, and everybody's confused about it, by the way, except for me. Everyone is confused about the Tea Party move, Occupy Wall Street, as to whether they're right and wrong. And you're right. People are saying, hey, they're a bunch of bums. They're, you know, college students or, you know, kids without a job have nothing better to do. And they are absolutely correct. But let's look behind all that. When these young men and women were growing up, most of them, I bet you if you did a survey, had a parent or two. Or maybe had four parents, you know. They may have been through two marriage, you know, a divorce or something. They had parents, right? My first question is, where were their parents? Saying, Johnny or Mary or Lisa, you know, we are going to discipline you to do well, to see where you're going in the future, because we don't want you to wind up on the street like Joe Wino across the street, okay? We want to see, we do not want to be responsible for your dependence on the state just to eat. I mean, the parents should be the ones guiding these students, these young children, these young kids, all right? Where were they, right? They were out to lunch. They were both working on their careers and too goddamn busy to do anything, excuse my language, too damn busy to do anything. To fool with their children, and that's why they sent them to school. In fact, many of them went to private school, and they had somebody teach them something over there. And if they pay it enough money, their children will come out smart and productive. You know, I just don't have time for it. I have a golf game on Saturday, so don't screw around with me. I don't have time for it. Now that's their parents, number one. Their parents are the number ones to blame. Right? Now let's go one step further. right? What about everybody that they were associated with outside of their family? Their immediate family, their mother and their father, for example. Their aunts, their uncles, their grandfathers, everybody. What happens to the patriarch of the family? There's no more patriarch. There's no patriarch in my family. I'm the oldest one in the family. I'm the one that makes sure everything keeps together. And guess what? I am the most worthless person in the entire family. You know why? Because I'm the oldest. I have no say in anything. And God forbid I make a suggestion, it's always stupid. Because we no longer have a family structure where there's any sort of respect for people of who've been through everything before. You know, if you look at tribes, ancient tribes, even modern tribes, you'll find there's when the tribe has a problem, who do they go to? Do they go to the teenage punk? Have you ever seen any tribe in the world, I don't care where it is, in South America, Australia, Asia, anywhere, where when the tribe had a problem, they went to the punk teenager, 12-year-old teenager, 13-year-old teenager. No, they went to the village elder, the tribe elder, because they knew he went through it. And they say, please, bestow your wisdom on us. But today, parents are too damn busy, you know, doing their programming, you know, their computer crap, you know, to screw with kids. And so, number one, who I blame for that are the parents of America. Number one. Number two, everybody associated with them. Their friends, their distant families, everyone associated with them. I blame every one of them. Now, the kid goes to school, right? And where do they go? He goes to a government-regulated school. And what do you think he learns? You think he learns that this is a problem? If you don't become independent and critical thinker, that you are going to stumble and you're going to become subject to the state and you're going to be angry for the rest of your life and hate yourself? Oh, no. They just say, memorize this crap, and then we'll give you a degree. And if you get a degree, they tell them, if you get a degree, whether it be a high school degree or college degree, oh, you'll find a job and people will be throwing themselves at you. And they fill their heads with this comic book fairyland crap that doesn't exist. Because that's why
Doesn't sound like it's a problem we're going to fix overnight, Jeff.
Oh, we're not going to fix it, Jim. We are not going to fix it at all because the reason why we can't fix the problem is that we don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. What do you, I agree with you in both the shortcomings of our education system, of the family unit and the patriarch concept that you described. You hear a lot on the talking heads about the 99% versus the one, and making this a class warfare. And so, as you know, it's a mixed bag of people: socialists, communists, libertarians, anarchists, 9/11 truthers, the fetters, all different mixed bag of people with grievances are gathering at these events, which I think is good if they can get together and talk through their differences and the issues. But what do you feel about the 99 versus 1 and the class warfare that the media is trying to say that this is the foundation of the movement?
Well, it's exactly the same problem I had when I spoke with the same question that I had when I spoke with this fine young gentleman who is going to be a sociology PhD guy, okay? I say, fine, what do you mean by that? What do they mean by the 1%? What do you mean by it? Do you mean by 1%, you mean somebody like the late Steve Jobs, who's created 700,000 jobs? Is he the 1%? Is he the one we should put in jail and crucify if he was still alive? Who are you talking about? Well, the thing is that in school, the way the government wants us to think is they want us to label good guy, bad guy, and keep us fighting among ourselves, good guy, Republican, Democrat, whatever it may be, while they screw the Jesus out of us.
Yeah.
And so there is no such thing as one percenters. That's all a misnomer. It's got, and what it does, all that does is it's another diversion. I want to go one step further, Jim. I'm sorry, I'm over. Stating myself, I know that. But then when a student goes to school, and my wife was a product of this for 15 years. You go to school counselors, and they know nothing. Are they elders? Are the school counselors elders saying, let me tell you how, you know, the cow really eats the cabbage, and in this environment, no, they know nothing. Oh, you want to get a degree in sociology? Yes, you seem to have propensity in that regard, and you like people, so it'd be a good thing to do. They know nothing, absolutely nothing. There should be absolutely no school counselors. There should be school elders saying, you want to get a degree in sociology? Fine, tell me why.
Well, my girlfriend Alice, she's in the class and she's hot.
Good reason. That's a good reason. Alice is built. You want to look at her all day long. I'll buy that. But other than that, ain't no reason to do that. So I blame the schools themselves. And then the coup d'etat, the whole thing, is what happens. Is the school say, oh boy, we can get government money every time we enroll a student. So we want to make sure not only do we enroll a student, but we keep him here or her here. Because if the student drops out, we lose government funding, right? The government's not going to give money for a student that doesn't exist. So they come in, they say, I want to get a degree in sociology and help the world. And they go, oh, fine, that's great. We're glad that you have this moralistic motive, and you're good for society. Please, here, take a sociology degree, and it's going to cost you, you know, $120,000. Oh, it's okay. The government will pay for it. I'll pay it back when I get my job making $150,000 a year. You know, they do all this, right? And then when they get in there, they know there's no job for this kid. They know there's nothing. They know they're going to starve. What do they care? They're like the bank who gives the money to the druggie who can't pay a dime on a $400,000 house. But what does the bank care? They're getting paid by the feds, by Freddie Mac. The same thing with the school system. They're getting paid by the feds. They don't care if you take a degree if they had a degree called a degree in worthlessness, guaranteed never to have a job, they would teach it. Because
Joe,
they're getting paid.
I'm living and experiencing that. My wife, who I love dearly, got a sociology degree, and she admits it was a piece of crap, worthless. She never really thought about how she would be productive and income producing post college, and it has to do with her family upbringing and society and media and all those different elements. And then today. Today, my son, who has just got a job with Cisco System with an electrical engineering degree, one of the degrees that is potentially worth the investment, is married to a bright young lady who is valedictorian of her high school. No dummy. She got a degree in high grades, a degree from a fine university in psychology.
Right.
Now 6 months after graduating, guess what? She hasn't found a job.
Right.
And like I said, it's just, and now that they're married, although she was on a full ride scholarship for tuition, she had to get loans. She came from a very modest, middle income family. She incurred about $15,000 in loans for her housing costs. And so my son married into that debt, and a wife who has no real skills that can be applied in the workforce.
Jim, we only have about 55 seconds left to go before we lose our telephone line. I want to thank you very much. I want to make one last comment, and then we got to go off the air, is that, yes, the young people or everybody on Wall Street should be angry, but they should understand why they're angry and who should they direct the anger at. Okay, so it should be at the very way they were raised, and especially the federal government, not Wall Street. Wall Street was just the end of the whole thing. Okay, Jim, thank you very, very much for calling in. Okay, thank you for calling Liberty Talk Radio. Appreciate it very much. Okay, good night. Good
Thanks,
morning.
Joe. Have a good day. Bye.
All right. Boy, was I wound up today. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned, and remember, next Wednesday evening, we hope to have Andy Sutton back giving us an economic update. I hope to hear from you then. Thank you very much, and good morning.